While every head is bowed, we do. And Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do. We thank you and praise you, and we glory in the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You again have instructed us that you want us to look to your mercy till we see your appearing. Now, Lord, we're so grateful again, this precious testimony of the faithfulness of God in this song, and Lord, most importantly in our lives and in the scriptures. And Lord, we thank you, God, that we break. Lord, thank you for that broken heart. Thank you for that contrite spirit, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord, that's the one that you give grace to. And we, Lord, we know that it's the grace of God that's the power of it all. We know that it's the grace of God that is our all sufficiency in all things to superabound to every good work. Lord, help us to just again see the truth and the beauty, the majesty in your mercy. Because that is the love that will convict, God. That's the love that changes us. Lord, that's the love that worketh in us, Lord Jesus, that causes us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you again, our beautiful, wonderful Savior. Oh, hallelujah, we do. Glory in the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, you have taken away the sins of the world. Lord, thank you again for your wonderful, wonderful grace. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 3. That's James chapter 3. I'm going to wait just a moment for you to get there. And if you don't have a Bible with you, just scoot on over and look at the Word of God with your neighbor next to you. How's that? That's a good thing to share. Matter of fact, it's the only thing to share. There you go. But in James 3, I'd like us all to read this together this morning. I would. So let's just read it together. So here we go. James 3, and the verse we'll start with is verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Praise God. Praise God. Now last week, we were in Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3 assured us in such gentleness, commit all your life's workings unto the Lord. Every work in your life, entrust him. Entrust is the word. And that beautiful word, entrust, is truly the entrusting that you would have towards a spouse. And even specifically towards a husband, in a sense, the husband, the headship, praise God, of the body, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to entrust him. And it's thinking to all of us married ones, how wonderful it is for the spouses that the Lord has given us. We thank God as we yield to the Lord together. But there is not a spouse like the bridegroom. There's none to be compared. And when we're talking about entrusting that headship, that bridegroom, that's complete. That's absolute confidence we can have in him and rest assuredly for everything in our life. to think truly, my husband's got it. Now, sisters, don't you go looking at your husbands right now with rolling your eyes. Because you know that we're just men. But we have the one that we truly can entrust with our lives. And entrust with every single working in our life. That truly I can say, my husband's got it. I can just be about the joy of my home. Think about that. That is actually our reality when we trust our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like that. See, if we're putting our confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils, and I'm even talking about us spouses, if I put my confidence in my sweet wife or she puts her confidence in me like that, that's a miss. It has to be in the Lord. And you know, one of the workings of my wife's life is me. She better commit me. Not to the hospital, but to God. But to God. And she'll have perfect rest in that, won't she? Because her husband and my husband has it all. That's the husband of our home. By the grace of God is my soon coming bridegroom. And in that entrusting him with every working of my life, he'll establish my thoughts. He'll give them assuredly to me in confidence. And what's so incredible is the peace and rest that he is able, ready, and desires that all of our care would be cast upon him. Every care. Every single care. That care that's concerning you right now. That's been, again, something you've been carrying along by the grace of God to cast upon him. Now, here we read even more proof and evidence of what those established thoughts will not be and what they will be when we have truly entrusted the Lord, the Word, with every working in our life. And I don't know about you, but I need this more than I've ever needed this in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something. I need this more than ever right now. Because manifold temptations have surrounded me. Because manifold trials, again appointed of the Lord, are all about me. And by the grace of God, I want his mind to reign. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Praise God. I'm getting a little worried for you. I'm not worried for God. But when we have that opportunity and that given to us and that absolute assurance of let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus, this is what we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, I do know this. We do, by the grace of God, want to follow God's decisions. I do believe that. Now I know that oftentimes we don't. But if I'm asking you right now, every life in this place, by the grace of God, wouldn't you rather follow God's decision? Amen? Are you assured in your heart that that decision, as I follow God's decision, will bring the joy unspeakable and full of glory that's already been given? Amen? Now, if I start thinking about the decision that he's made in my mind, I'm going to panic, I'm going to doubt. And oftentimes, I won't go that way, will I? And God says the alternative of that is, sure, you can have your own desires, you can have your own way. And he calls it destruction, and the worst of all that I hate to hear, and he'll send leanness to your soul. You can have what you want, but your soul will be lean. And here we have this wonderful, precious lamb, as our sweet sister sang about, whose love has never changed, whose absolute favor to you continues to be extended moment by moment. And all he does is wait at the home for you to return. He's just incredible. Praise be to God. And brothers and sisters, this is it. So sweetly, he gives us evidence and proof where our heart really is. He's so faithful because he knows we try to fool ourselves. He's so faithful to tell us whether and to show us in his word. And know it's always in his word. It's not how my heart feels. He shows us in his word whether we're entangled in this world with our thoughts and decisions, or if we truly have our decisions set upon the things above. And notice he first gives us here the evidence if we are trying to fool ourselves. Falsely claiming the decision that I am making, that I am going with, is of God. And I'm talking about decisions that we are making right now, decisions that maybe we have already just made. Brothers and sisters, if we are making a decision out of our self-ambition, if we are making a decision to satisfy my feeling, if we are making a decision because we are bitter, because we did not get our way, by the grace of God, stop. Stop. Because that's not God's decision. God is not in that. Because truth is, that kind of attitude and heart would not have anything to do with God. That's hard for us, isn't it? Because we all either have been there or we all are there. And with every single decision that we're facing, brothers and sisters, these are the decisions that we face. But God tells us here, verse 15, he says, this bitter and selfish choice that you're about to make is not from above. He tells us here it is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. That means it's unspiritual. And believe it or not, I know we don't like this word, but it's demonic. That is interesting, isn't it? He is so about us. He's so about us in the detail that he wants for our life. Verse 16 goes on to tell us, he says, for where envy is, jealousy, self-admonition, that means I've got to be seen, I've got to have it my way, you're in confusion. And the one thing I know about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is his mind is not confusion. It's peace, isn't it? And matter of fact, it's the peace that passes all understanding. And praise God, as we know about our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is not of disorder. Because it says when we go with our own thoughts, when we go in envy, jealousy, self-admonition, disorder of every kind of evil is what's reigning in your mind. Now you might say, no, wait a second, this is sounding like a big thing. We're just talking about one little decision here. Let me tell you something. Those little foxes spoil the whole vine. And they do. And they'll come very quickly. And those steps away from the truth multiply very quickly. That enemy is an enemy. And he's out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll do it any way he can. And oftentimes the way he attacks is right in our emotions and our feelings. And brothers and sisters, none of us are exempt from that. We're all in this by the grace of God in that precious good fight of faith. Now, we may convince ourselves that we're not going that way. But God help us. God help us. See, that he always sends a prophet. And he sent the prophet. He sent the word. Hallelujah. Just like the word when it addressed David. David was trying to ignore it. David was trying to deny it. David was trying to just forget about it. David, you're the man. David, you're the man. This is the way you've been going, David, and this needs to be corrected. And the reason that David was in that state is because he got hard. He got stiff-necked. Brothers and sisters, when we're going to make a decision like that, let me tell you something. It's going to take us down. But see, God in his faithfulness wants to have this corrected, because I want you to understand this. When we make decisions like that, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand your life. To whom much is given is much required. You have been given Paul's gospel. Do you understand what you have been given? I pray that we have some concept really of it. He said, hold that crown which thou hast. That no man take thy crown. You have been given the message, as Paul had said, if by any means I might attain to that resurrection. He has given you, by the grace of God, with that calling, the absolute passion and desire to have it performed in your life. Yes, he has, because he gives everything. Not only does he give you the plan, not only does he give you his purpose, not only does he give you all of these things to see it, but he gives you the power, praise God, to perform it. And he does. You lack nothing, nothing in God, nothing. So here we go. And brothers and sisters, when we make a decision like that, not only are we going down, but it's not only you that you are affecting, but you will take down some of your loved ones too. Your life affects people. Your life is so valuable to God. It is. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord that he didn't have to have me, but he needs me. He needs my praise. He needs this. And he, praise God, has given everything for me to have it. Have it flowing out of my life. But brothers and sisters, we have to understand this. Your decision, most times and every time, doesn't just affect you, it affects others. And I was encouraged to bring this out Wednesday night. Every child of God, all of us, are either one of two types of Christians. You're either a leader or you're a defeater. See, neutral you can't be. You think you're being neutral, but if you're neutral, you're defeating. See, leaders, by the grace of God, live a life and encourage others to more truth. Defeaters live a life in word and deed that not only draw their own life away, but then they begin to draw others away from the truth. And brothers and sisters, I'm just going to tell you, you know it. And it's not to think of the people that you know, but it's the Word of God. And the Word of God's true. And the Word of God is not about dividing things and separating things and all of this. It's about the unity of the Spirit. It's the bond of perfectness. I've preached this many times, and I'm thankful to God in great boldness. He would say the church that is at these places, the church, the church. See, when it becomes this thing that's spread out and multiplied all over the place in a sense, and well, I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas and I'm of this and I'm of that, you got a mess. You have a mess. Now, this is serious. And the reason this is so serious and even more critical than at any time is, brothers and sisters, the hour that we live right now is the hour that you think not. See, we're living at that time and that moment that the trump is going to sound. Jesus is coming. And truly, where are we at in our decisions? The Lord had tried me in this. He was bringing this to my heart a few months back when I was tried early on in this great trial, this vicious trial. It's a vicious trial. And trials can be very, very vicious that our family is going through right now. And I was desiring at that time to make big decisions to destroy, to retaliate. You talk about wanting to drop a nuclear bomb. But God in his mercy and God in his grace and God in his gentleness, he wouldn't let my heart dwell there. And what he showed me is that bitterness was coming in. That bitterness, honestly, I can tell you, by the grace of God, that bitterness actually hurt more than the actual trial itself. And it did. Because it was defeating. Praise God, I was in the most joyous time that, honey, look at, I've got a furnace, you're here, I'm here. The miracle's here. You know, it's not that you're just getting by. We're all good. We're praising. We're having such sweet fellowship. You don't need to get bitter, son. You're going to ruin our time together. You know, I thank him so much because he is so precious. And yes, by the grace of God, and it's not of us. I hate, and I've been fakey before. But don't be fakey. Don't seek peace with your enemies just because you think that it makes you look good. You look really bad in self-righteousness. And I do too. But by the grace of God, to truly allow him, because I know it's him in me, to do good to them that despitefully use me. See, that's not Jesse. I'd punch you in the mouth. I would. I'm a good fighter. I'm a dirty fighter. I know me. I do. But that ain't me. That's not me. That's not Christ in me. And I'm so thankful. What a benefit God is to us. To get us out of that bitterness. To stop us by the grace of God. And say, now honey, you know, you may think that this is great principle. You may think that you have, in a sense, the right to do this. You may think, and maybe there's ones around you encouraging you, you've got to do this. Let me tell you something. The only thing I need and gots to do is to be still and know that he's God. See, I don't want to be miserable. I do not want to be miserable when he's already given me the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? And it's true. I mean, there are a lot of hard things facing us, brothers and sisters. I mean, you know it. Our families, there's hardship. Our workplaces, there's hardship. Sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning. And it is. I get it. You know, and ones that, you know, you're relying upon that have been so joyous and happy all the time in our life, you know what? They got hit with a trial too. Specifically, so you couldn't go leaning and trying to suck on them to find some energy to go on. You finally get like those disciples, Lord, where else am I going to go? You know, Mutt and Jeff over here aren't doing good either. Even the guy laying his head on your breast, I think he's crying. You know, it's like, it's the truth, is it not? But see, that's it. That's it. And we're being pulled at in this world. And when you're pulled out in this world, it's apart. It's not together. It's not together. And brothers and sisters, I encourage this place. Because of the great love of the message of the bridal truth that's preached here. And that it radiates truly in those that are running for it. But be a leader. By the grace of God, really be a leader. And a leader is one that just loves the Lord. That basically lives a life and there's a grace upon that life that encourages people on in the things of God. It doesn't get something that is a report of something that's a bad thing or a horrible thing. Well, let's just multiply that. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine this? That there's not one life in here that doesn't have some type of dysfunction in it? Wow, what am I doing here? But it's true. Every life in here has issues. Every life out there has got issues too. But thanks be to God, you're hearing something, and the only thing that'll heal you. And if we have ones that might be a little bit more sick in certain ways, by the grace of God, ye that are spiritual, you don't want them out of here. You want them in here. Because this is where you're going to get help. This is where you're going to be encouraged by the grace of God to put away those childish things, to lay aside the weight, to hear the message that you don't have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that by the grace of God, the child of God has already put on. You've already put on those garments. They're already there. He's already given them to you. Yes, it is to put on the whole armor of God. I get that. But putting on the whole armor of God is that he's already given it. I don't need to go get it. He has given it. And if I'm not hearing the truth, what's going to happen? I'm going to deny what he's given. I'm just going to be blinded to all of the provision that he's already provided. I'm going to ignore, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The victories that have already been won. Well, as we close this up, the wisdom from above is pure. And that means it's verily. That means it's of God. Here it is. This is the wisdom of God. Because this is peaceful. It's gentle. It's full of mercy. This is not my will. It's thy will. It's not my principles. It's not even my heart, my gut, or my experience, or all my know-how. What the evidence is that we've read here today is it's always the good fruit of righteousness. Always. And it's always to be enjoyed by the family of God. It'll always promote more glory. It'll always promote more peace and love and gentleness and mercy, every decision that is from above, because that is the mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord because the fruit of righteousness, the decisions that are from above, that is the only fruit that will flow out, will always be steps towards the truth. They'll never be steps away from the truth. There'll always be words that will encourage others towards more truth. I can speak specifically for our family of God here. It will always be steps and words and living that will encourage towards the whole counsel of God. It will always be that encouragement and absolute desire for strong meat and nothing less. And it will always be, by the grace of God, the like precious faith fellowship and nothing less. For those truly, and I can stand on the promises of God in that truly follow Paul as he followed Christ. Brothers and sisters, as I mentioned a little earlier, I appreciate all of the word of God by his grace. I thank the Lord as he showed us so sweetly in so many lives in the Word of God. But there was Barnabas. And I love reading about him. What a precious man. Traveled with Paul, encouraged the Word of God in Paul, encouraged one another in that whole counsel of God and in that bridal truth. And it said Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Ghost. But there came a decision. A decision of what was going to happen on a missionary journey. What was going to happen maybe in your home, or what was going to happen in a church. And the one that remained was Paul's gospel. The one that went up against Paul's gospel and said, well, we're going to do it this way, took another path. And that was a man that had the whole counsel of God and was full of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah! Santa Maria, Salaya, Maria, Maria, Shalom, Laros, Laros. Consider what I say, follow peace with all men. I beseech you, endeavor to keep the unity of in the bond of peace, with all long suffering, forbearing one another in love. There is one God, one Father, one Lord, one hope, one baptism. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Jesus' name, Kalos.
While every head is bowed, we thank the Lord and so grateful for your word, Lord. And thank you for that oneness in you. And thank you for the life, Lord. There is neither bond nor free, or male nor female, Jew nor Greek, Lord God. We know we're just one in you. We thank you for that precious assurance and promise. And Lord, we thank you for your chastening today. I glory in it, Lord. I need it for my life. I know we all need it for our lives. And Lord, again, it's got to be you and your love that draws us, Lord. And we thank the Lord, again, that it's you that leads us along. But Lord, there is. It's a short time that's left. We've seen through the years ones that went on their way in their decisions. And God, it has nothing to do with a place, a building, a church. But it has everything to do with Paul's gospel. And Lord, it's a fight. If we don't think it's a fight, we're fooling ourselves. And we're going to be fought on every end, every angle, at every turn. But we know that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And Lord, we know that we can stand, withstand, and having done all, we can stand. And Lord, we know, again, that you've already made the way in this. But Lord, help us to be truly lovers of the truth. Thank you for proving your love in us, Lord God, because you are worth it. You're the only one that's worth it. I thank you for this calling. I thank you for this drawing. I thank you for this fellowship. For this is my family. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.